Welcome again to another episode of the C-List Villains, your cultivators of the comic culture. I'm your host, AJ. Tonight, we've got E-Man in the house. Red will not be able to make it, and Luke is running late, so hopefully he'll be able to join us in a little bit. Good evening, man.
Good evening, dude. How you been, man?
Good, man. How about yourself? How was your weekend?
Weekend was cool. Weekend was really cool. I'm actually trying to set up from the weekend right here. I went to a little con yesterday, a little small intimate comic con in San Jose. And then I started recording video for my other channel that I've been wanting to start for all these years. So I finally got that off the ground, working on the second video for that. So like it was pretty active this weekend. We tried like a bunch of new food and stuff like that. So it was a really productive weekend. It was really nice.
Now, when you do these videos, like how long, because I'm always curious to know, how long does it take to edit?
So I'm pretty sure I have some form of adult ADD. I'm very, very sure, because it could take hours. Today I recorded a video. I recorded a video that took me a total of about 12 minutes to record, but it took me almost 3 hours to fully edit it before I posted it. So editing, you have to have that kind of mind where you're like, oh, I'm detailed oriented and I want this, I want that, this got, it has to be this look and that look, and you have to have a special mind for it. And since doing the podcast, I realized how much I really enjoy editing. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it, because when we originally did it and put it on audio for the podcast itself, like in the beginning, I was enjoying that. I was really liking that I can piece things together. So then when I moved over into video editing, I was like, this is weird, but I really like this. So
not to say that it's easy, but is video editing pretty much the same thing as audio editing? Because I've never done video. Well, I have done video editing, but with the help of someone else.
No, there's definitely different layers on top of it. I'm also not that advanced in it, but you know what? I'm not going to lie. It's actually kind of similar. It's kind of similar. You do have the layers. You actually get to see things. So, and you can actually add more visuals to it. So I guess there's just more to video editing because certain things pop. Whereas with audio editing, you just listen to the audio. You just add a song on the background, and then you can add like some sound effects here and there. But with video editing, there's just even more layers that can go on top of it. So it could be really, really intricate.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
A 3-hour edit for a 12-minute video. I mean,
yeah. And I'm very much okay with it. Like, I just posted a video. Like I said, I posted a video today on my channel, and it's like, I think it ended up being like a 5-minute and 30-second video. It took me 12 minutes to record, it took me 3 hours to edit, but I'm okay with that. I don't know.
Hey, as long as you enjoy it, you know, that's all that matters.
It's the weird thing. I guess it's like accounting. Right, you just have to have a special mind to be able to do that. People who enjoy accounting, no one enjoys accounting. Who wants to crunch numbers all day? There's a special blend of humans out there that are like, yes, blending numbers, I like this. I guess the same thing with editing, right? It's just a special mind that goes into it.
Speaking of special minds, boom, we've got Luke in the house. What's going on, man? Just E-Man, Luke, you've got a different setup yourself, don't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like, I don't know if the angle is different, because it's usually...
Oh, yeah, it's a different angle for sure.
Well, what is that?
Whoa. Someone's fan is on. Oh, okay, so it's not Luke. Okay.
How was your weekend, Luke?
Awesome.
What'd you end up doing?
Oh, one more weekend, I think, before the kids go back to school. Maybe two. Then, or maybe three. I don't know.
I'm here. Hold, I didn't leave. I'm here.
Okay.
We got the fam. It's awesome.
You celebrated your birthday over the weekend, right?
Oh, yeah. My birthday. Birthday
again, happy birthday.
That's right, yeah. Man.
It was my birthday, the big 4-3.
What did you what'd you guys do for your birthday?
We went to one of my favorite spots in Portland.
Oh yeah, it's a barbecue spot, right? Did you post a picture or something?
Barbecue. Oh yeah, that's awesome. That's good. Nice. I feel like every year of life is getting better than the last. I guess that's the point.
I mean, that's a great outlook.
Luke's very much ready to jump on his cruise to Alaska with all the vintage folk that travel that right there.
Why is it that older people like to do the Alaska cruise? What is up with that?
They don't have to look people in bikinis and feel bad about themselves.
I guess so. Yeah, that makes sense.
Everyone's clothed the entire time.
I went to go watch the Dragon Ball movie. I don't know, for anyone who's listening, the anime fans out there, I did get to watch that. It was really good. If you're a fan of Gohan and Piccolo, it's definitely Gohan Piccolo centric.
Are you being real right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
I watched the Dragon Ball movie, Dragon Ball Super, I think it's called.
Is it okay? So I know I talked about that. I know I asked Red. Now, is this okay? Which timeline is this? This is what I want to know. Does this happen after Dragon Ball Z, or is this one that happens after Dragon Ball GT, which I guess is not a part of the main storyline?
GT is no longer canon.
Oh, okay.
So everything now is after Dragon Ball Z, because now the new series is Dragon Ball Super. So yeah.
And then I even heard that Dragon Ball Super was like, okay, is that the case?
Dragon Ball Super is really good because they learn from the past.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the fights are still long, but like there's more fights and the storyline is better. It's more streamlined, if you ask me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that was the main issue with like the second generation or the ones that happened afterwards, right? Where it just wasn't cohesive enough. But also like the fights, man. Why do they have to last 48 episodes like before one's done? Can someone explain that to me?
I don't know. I mean, the fights are still long, but it's more cohesive, I would say.
Okay. So it matters now then, right? Is that what you're telling me? Like they have more sense. They make more sense now. It's not just fighting and I'm better than you.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Like the storylines are to me better. I am a little tired of Goku always winning. Like it's got to be other characters. He's got to lose a couple times, you know?
I mean, isn't Broly like Goku's, you know, what's his name? Not Apocalypse. Who's the one that killed Superman? Death? What's the name?
Doomsday.
Isn't Broly like Goku's Doomsday?
Well, so Broly was introduced in Dragon Ball Z, but in the movies. So they never made it actual canon. And then now in Dragon Ball Super, they did introduce Broly, but a different version of Broly. And now this one is canon, but he's alive and he's kind of a good guy. Like he's got this rage that they're trying to help him control, but he supposedly like, because he was a little, they showed him a little bit in this movie and like they're like, dude, we can't let this guy power up because he's just gonna go crazy and he's just gonna like destroy everything.
So wait a minute, so is Broly kind of like a Venom then, like where he was a bad guy at first and now he's kind of like a good guy-ish and then he's really powerful but you got to tone him down?
Well, not really. I would say it's more like more like Hulk. I would say if you want to put a comparison.
Okay. I don't even know why I'm even asking a question. I don't watch Dragon Ball Z. I don't think I've even watched Dragon Ball. I don't even know why I'm getting into
it. But you know all the characters.
Yeah, you know, I know of Majin Buu, Majin Buu, Majin Buu, Majin Buu. Like, It's funny because Alex, my cousin Alex and I, back in the 90s, like when he went to Japantown, he would get like Dragon Ball Z cassettes, and he had like this double head cassette recorder, and he would actually record them and save them. Like statute of limitations, you can't get in trouble for this. And then like we would watch Dragon Ball Z in Japanese, no subtitles, no nothing. We would just watch Dragon Ball Z, and we're just like, let's just make up our own stories, you know? And we did, and we were able to piece out Dragon Ball Z, you know, but we didn't really watch the whole story together. It was just, he would just get like certain episodes where like, I don't know what the hell I'm watching, but we're gonna watch this, this is dope, because right. They have dope fights. Like, I knew about Fusion, like, what, in 93? When they all did the fusion, like that was super dope. And then all of a sudden, like I'm here, like years later, a lot of the people were starting to catch up. Oh, fusion! I'm like, yeah, I know about that. Like, I was a part of that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of weird because Dragon Ball has gotten a resurgence. Like it's got it after Z and then GT, and then there was nothing, and then when it came back with Super, you know, it came back with, you know, a lot of people following it again. Just like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Bleach. Everyone is really looking forward to that coming back. The only thing is, it is going to be on Disney Plus. So people are a little scared about the editing that
Disney Plus has.
Well, yeah. Well, hold on. And I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about when we talk about She-Hulk, but they're allowing some things to go through on Disney Plus now. So, you know, maybe Disney Plus is actually realizing that, you know, a little bit more mature, you know, related content is what's bringing some of the people in. So, I mean, yeah. D Plus, man, they're the only ones that's really making any money right now. So it's one of those things where the thing that everyone's already doing, it's a risk to them, but it's high, you know, high risk, high reward.
High risk, low reward, or low risk, high reward.
It's for them, it's high risk, high reward, if you think about it, right?
I don't know. I would kind of think like, well, I guess high risk, high reward. The way I see it is the majority of people who were subscribing are not, I mean, yes, some are subscribing to their kids, but it's geared towards adults because they've got a lot of those Star Wars and Disney shows or Marvel shows that people want to watch, right? I mean, It's not like how many times can you play a Disney cartoon for your kid, like one of those movies, you know? I mean, often, yes, but I think
you underestimate the amount of times.
Yeah.
You underestimate my power!
I'll just say Moana. I've probably played Moana at least 600 times.
Oh, I've watched. God. Sometimes I'll watch Moana without the kids because that's like one of my favorite ones. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'll there sing. I've been staring at the edge of the water. Just I'm not gonna lie. I'll sing along. I don't care. I have zero shame.
All right. Well, enough about the anime talk. Let's talk about your adventures, E-Man. You went to a con this weekend.
Oh, man, we're going to jump right into that. Yeah, no problem. So it was cool, man. I went to San Jose Con in San Jose, California. That's where it was at. It was cool because it was like a Holiday Inn, like the little convention center that they have in like a, you know, it was a small, intimate con. Nice thing about it, man, it was small. And I'm realizing, because I've been going to cons for years, but to be honest with you, I've kind of just like wandered around, like I don't know anything, everything looks so pretty and whatever catches my eye, and you know, I just don't know what to buy. I went to this one just gonna go in and record, and went, you know, I'm gonna record my con visit, you know, and then just started recording and stuff. But it was nice hearing the parents talk to their kids. Oh, here's three, you know, ASM 300, the first, you know, black suit. You hear this kid like, oh, I know about that. That's awesome. They're like 7 or 8 years old, right? It's not the huge spectacle like New York City or like C2E2 or even San Diego. It was nice and small, intimate, and you can talk comics. And it was nice running into people that I know from Instagram at the con, seeing people there for the first time, even though like I consider them my friends. Like it was the first time I was meeting like Rob from Rob Fatstacks of Comics. like, I consider him a buddy, right? Because we've been talking for about a year. We're in the same circle. I would go to some of the hangouts. He's there. He lives in San Jose. But seeing one of your buddies at a con for the first time was really good. It was a really good feeling. And then I'm realizing for me, I like buying the stuff that a lot of the indie creators just bring out. You know, starting a brand new adventure with the worries of Marvel or DC or certain rules. It's just them like, hey, look, do me a favor. Try me out. Like, I have something in my head and I put it on paper and here, if you don't mind reading it. So I walked into the con, like, not expecting, really, I wasn't really expecting to buy anything. I walked out of the con. Yeah, I spent $50, but I spent $50 that went directly to somebody. It's not going to a shop who needs to pay for their lights, you know, which is still okay. It went right into the pocket of the actual creator. And yeah. I don't know what any of these books look like or about, but it also feels good being able to support a creator who has that dream. And I felt good about that, man. It felt really nice.
Okay. All right. Did you plan on meeting up with these people? Like some of these IG guys, or you just happened to run into them?
I was planning on running into one of the guys, Rob. Like Rob and I were talking about. Matter of fact, Rob and I were talking about it for about a month. Like, hey, you're gonna go? I'm not too sure. Kind of going back and forth. Finally hit him up. Hey, you know, I'm gonna go. Let's go meet up. Let's, you know, let me just learn from you. And he was in there. And he, well, his wife's not watching, so he spent some decent change there. He walked away with like, I want to say like a Dracula, like number 12 or something like that. Like it was a solid. Looking book, man. Like I was like, wow, this is like from the 30s or 40s. So it was cool to see him hold that slab in his hand. He's like, I had to get this one right here. So hearing the guys, hearing someone else like that, like going to a con and say, hey, dude, I picked this up like on the cheap. It was really nice. It was really nice to hear people hunting for something that they're looking for and they're getting it.
And you know, the thing about the smaller ones like that, especially the ones that are like at a community center or library or small hotel. Ooh. Those are the ones where you can kind of make, not kind of, but you can make deals with some of these guys. So, I mean, if you're going to do comic hunting, I think those are the best places to go.
One of the guys that I ran into, East Bay Comics, his name is Angel. Like I've been following his IG page for a while. He's got some great stuff. And he was like, look what I just got for $200. He just a fat stack of comics. It was all of the Secret Wars and Secret Wars 2, right? Including, what is it, Secret Wars 8, mm-hmm. The first black suit. Like, he's like, look what I got for $200. Like, now, they weren't in bags and boards, but still being able to walk away from a con and spending $200 on a set of books, and one of them is the first black suit. Yeah, it might not be a 9-8, but shit, dude, you're getting a black suit for under $200.
Yeah.
You know, that was so dope to hear. That was real dope to hear, you know.
That's a good price, yeah.
And just hearing like, you know, some of the sellers are like, yeah, you know, I just want to put these in the hands of people who want to read them. Or people are going out there, they're like, I don't have a shop. I have a card and this is just my collection that I just want to rehome, like a bunch of dollar books. And it was just nice, man. It was nice without the hustle and bustle of like the big spectacle of, oh, Marvel is going to be releasing this movie. And then you're just fading away from what you were there for. And that's the comics. It was really nice.
Cool. Other than the little indie stuff, did you buy any, like, I don't know, mini, I guess, first appearances or any Grail stuff?
No, to be honest with you, when I go to these cons, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I don't know what I'm looking for. I really am not. And this is just me. This is how I go to a con. I'm not there to look for, you know, a missing book because I don't have those big runs. You know, Rob, I think, just completed his ASM like 200 to 300 at this con. Right. And I hear people are trying to complete runs like that. I don't do that. That's not my style. And it's not because it's not for the lack of appreciating that. It's just not me. And I really wish it was, but it's not. I like looking for the little stuff. I like looking for the indie stuff, you know. So I'm pretty sure there was something in there for me. I just didn't dig like everyone else was digging.
And were there any artists, like comic book artists, other than the writers or whoever?
Yeah. So here, let me bring it up. So there was a few writers and artists, and I actually went to a couple of panels, and I recorded. So Tony Harris was there. I don't know if you guys know who that is. Scott Shaw, John Livesey. I got one of his books. Chris Marinin, Frank Sirocco, Scott Fuzzy Joseph was there. So like a lot of like, I didn't know any of these guys, but the guys that were doing commissions, their commissions were dope. Like people were spending 50, 60 bucks on some commissions, like full on, front covers, blank. Yeah. And it was like, wow, dude, some of this art is just super dope. I just have no place to put it. You know, I have this little area. This is it. This is all my nerdy stuff, but seeing people walk away like, oh, look what Fuzzy did. Like, this is such a dope Doc Ock. Oh, man, that's fucking awesome, dude. Yeah, dude. I'm really digging. I really like it because people appreciate what they're getting there.
Right.
I wish I could do that. It's just not in me, but I'm glad that there's a fan base for it, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Luke, anything you want to throw out there? Anything you want to cover tonight before we go to our main topic?
Let's jump in.
Hold on. Before anything, can I show off what I picked up? Show off some of these indies? So this is something like for the kids, you know, and I really want to, I really want to read this one right here. So this one's called Dragon Whisperer. This is a four-issue run. This is basically, steampunk young protagonist. She's a young lady, and they're like, well, you're a lady. You can't be the hero. She's like, screw you guys. I want to be a hero. And this is aimed at more of the younger crowd. So I was able to pick this up right here. And I'm going to read it. I definitely want the girls to read it. You know, I want the kids to read it. So this one sounded really interesting to me. There was this like trade, a real thick book, but I just couldn't get it. It was already towards the end of the con. I had to re-blew my budget. And the guy was like, dude, do me a favor. Give me a chance. I was like, I would love to. I just blew my budget already. He's like, you know what? Read number one. Let me give you number one. It's got a bunch of things on there. He's like, read number one. If you like it, cool. If you're not, no worries. You know, I just want someone to read this right here. I'm like, I totally would appreciate that. He didn't have to do that. But he did, and I was like, all right, this is a cover from his name, David Finch.
David Finch. Did that cover, really?
Yeah.
I can kind of tell you.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, David Finch did this cover. It's pretty dope. I completely forgot what that book was about. This another book from like this guy right here is from the Bay. He's from a Redwood City. Also, I completely forgot what this was about, but like I got like the black and white, and I got the foil of this one right here. I can't wait to read this. This is the one. This one right here is something that I really wanted to pick up. I saw it on Facebook last week, and I was like, oh, I wish I can go get it, but I can't get it. And you guys know I'm a Giants fan, so I got that Giants Unite comic that they were talking about on Facebook. Apparently, this thing's already going for $60. And this guy right here, the guy who did this corner art right here, his name is Matt Ritchie. I had him on my show. He did the corner art, and then this cover was actually done by Arthur Adams.
Oh, okay.
Arthur Adams did the cover for it. So this is a cool little book based off of the 2012 Giants World Series team. And then my big boy picked up the Silver Cord. The Silver Cord is an enjoyable and thought-provoking graphic novel about a war between humans, angels, and robots with human-like intelligence. I've never read anything like it before. So that's what this is. The guy who actually sold this to me is like, dude, it's just $20. I was like, you know what? $20 for all of this of a read? Well, you know what? It's worth it. I'll do that. So I went ahead and picked this up right here. And that's what I like. You know, picking up the indie stuff to see what it's about.
So, have you read any of it? Any of the books yet?
Not yet. The con was yesterday. Didn't really have a chance to read anything just yet, but I'm really looking forward to diving into what some of these minds have put together. You know, they worked really hard at doing this. So I really want to spend my time and like read it again, and then look at the art and definitely know the difference between, see the difference between, like Image and Boom and then what they do, and just compare,
Right. Right. All right. Very cool, man. Very, very cool. All right. Well, let's get into the big topic for the night. We've all watched She-Hulk episode one. So, oh, go ahead. Let's go ahead and give our thoughts on the episode. Luke, why don't you start off for us?
Ooh, it was fun, energetic, more entertaining than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Not deep. It was like the most comic. I felt like a live action comic book, and I loved it. It really did. It was like nothing deep. Felt like I read a comic book on the bus on the way to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And even her attitude is kind of backs that up. Like, I don't want to be a superhero. It's like if just one of us became a superhero. Like, tomorrow, you're a superhero. You're like, no, I don't want to be.
No, it's okay. Take it back. It's okay. No. Unsubscribe. Can I do that? Unsubscribe. Can I not be a superhuman? Is that
okay? I mean, her hair is the only thing that I'm kind of like, I don't know. The hair's kind of weird. But I know why they did it, to make it, it's super comic book accurate. I mean, it's fun. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I'm looking forward to watching it, I should say.
Yeah. Eman, what about you?
So, I don't know. I did not enjoy it.
Wow.
I did not enjoy it. I just don't feel like, I don't know. I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I just don't think like this is a show for me. There were some of the jokes were cool. I just didn't like the origin. The origin I feel was rushed. To me, like I mentioned it before, I was like, look, this kind of looks like Sex in the City. But now, actually, after watching the first episode, it feels more like, yeah, that's what I thought before. But it feels more like Ally McBeal, you know, that courtroom drama from the 90s with Calista Flockhart. You know, it's kind of like drama comedy. I'm like, you know what? It just doesn't capture me. Now, the whole superhero aspect of it all, you know, her and Bruce going at it, Bruce trying to teach her, things like that. The attitude I get. Her character, I just don't think it hit the mark for me. You know, I didn't really find it as enjoyable as everyone else did, and it sucks because I really want to like it. You know, okay. I'm rooting for it. I just don't feel like it's for me.
Okay, was there anything specific that you did not like?
Well, like I said, I felt like the origin felt rushed. You know, the whole spaceship comes down, you know, and well, if they were trying to get Bruce's attention and they fell over the side, why didn't they go down and help him? You know, that was one thing that bothered me. Like, I am here in front of your car. I know Bruce is in there.
There's some plot holes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like, and then they go over like, oh shit, we caused a crash. There's a human in there. We got to go. Like, you know,
let's get out of here.
And it's like, what?
Nobody
like,
saw it.
And then Bruce is like, oh, yeah, that's some kind of Asgardian ship. You know, I got to look into that. I'm like, but Jennifer got hurt, you know. And then all of a sudden she can Hulk out. She can control it, you know, with Bruce spending 10 plus years trying to control it and still trying to figure it out. And she was just like, oh, it's, you know, it's a woman thing. You know, I can control my anger. I deal with stuff like this on a daily. And it's like, I just think it just came at me just way too fast. You know, I'm going to watch it still, but it just felt like this, and I just couldn't capture it. It was just all in my face, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Legion of Comics says that the whole MCU wasn't a joke already. Ouch. This show would have had a chance to stand out as special, but it's just another standard Disney show instead. I take it Legion of Comics is not a fan of the MCU right now.
Mark's got his gripes about Disney MCU for sure.
Phase 4 has been a slog.
But the beginning of Phase 1 was also kind of slowish, right? With the two Thor movies, with the Incredible Hulk movie. Like, the only thing that really kept going was Iron Man, right? You know, and even the Captain America movie when it first came out. Like, the first one was kind of boring. So I feel like with Phase 4, they're just bringing stuff out.
That was my favorite one.
I didn't like it.
Over Winter Soldier? Really, Luke?
I mean, I like Winter Soldier too, but
Winter Soldier is still the best one to this day, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that. You know, I guess I'm a little in between both of you. I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked that it was very different. It felt like a comedy. I didn't have to think too much. Didn't have to pay attention too much. So that's fine. You know, the thing is, I think, and I hate to say it, but I think overall we're getting a little bit of not so much comic book fatigue, but a little Marvel fatigue here.
Oh, 100% agree.
Probably, yeah, because they're just shooting stuff out left and right, just rapid fire, right?
Yeah.
With phase 1, 2, and 3, it was like I said, it was three properties spread out over 3 years before one phase closed out. I didn't mind that pace. I just think the fast pacedness of it right now, I'm with you, is just like, it's just too much. Like I need a break.
Too much.
Yeah. I will have to say, E-Man, I know that you didn't like the origin was too quick. I don't mind it because I hate an origin story that takes half the movie. You know what I mean? Like, how many times do we need to know Superman, Batman, Spider-Man's origin? We all know it. But they always, anytime there's a reboot, it's like half the movie is the origin.
But with this one, it was I'm driving a car. I'm in an accident. Your blood got in me. I'm a Hulk. Next day, I'm a Hulk again, and then I can control it, and I'm a Hulk again, and it's just me, just being me, and this is me all the time, and this is me all the time also. It's like,
They kind of explained it in the lab, though, because, you know, he said that our genetic something is able to be comparable, but then he's like, I don't understand how you're able to control it. I need to do more research on this, so, you know, whatever. But yes, there was a plot hole with the alien ship.
Yeah.
Was that the Skrulls?
I actually
like the Skrull ship.
Was it the Skrull ship? It didn't look like the Grand Master ship. I was waiting for someone or not the Grand Master ship, but what was her name? His right-hand man, the lady with the tattoo on her face. From Ragnarok. It looked like her ship.
I don't remember. I don't even know who you're talking about, to tell you the truth.
Okay, well, never mind. Yeah. But that ship looks familiar. It is a familiar looking ship, and it looks like it goes back to Ragnarok.
Yeah, yeah. I know that we were supposed to talk about Hulk, but it seems like E-Man just made me realize what was off about it for me. I know that we're supposed to talk about She-Hulk, but just out of curiosity, Film Age did want to know.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did y'all check out House of Dragon? Are you guys watching that?
I watched it today.
You guys want to talk about it?
Oh, yeah, I watched
it. Talking about She-Hulk. Hold on, we're talking about She-Hulk here. Did we all watch House of Dragon?
I saw House of Dragon, yeah, yeah.
Did you watch it, Luke?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess we're talking about House of Dragon. I mean,
we've put the nail in the coffin with She-Hulk. We went through that pretty quick.
Hold on. Are we supposed to give the comic book grading for this show? I mean, come on.
Yes. Let's do the comic grading, and then we can move over to House of Dragon. What was your grade, Luke?
Eight-o.
What was that?
A solid 8-0.
8-0, okay. What do you got, E-Man?
Hold on, wait a minute. I'm about to give it an 8-0. We're talking comic book grading, right? Like, you're giving it, you enjoyed it, but you're giving it an 8-0. I honestly would have thought you might have given it like a 9-2, like up in that. Like,
well, 8-0 is still high grade.
Is it?
Yeah.
That means I have to lower mine because I was going to give it an 8-0. Like, I'm thinking 8-0, like an 8-0 for a brand new comic. Like, if I get a We Live number 5 and it comes back 8-0, I'm going to be upset, you know? Like,
well, 8-0 to 9-8, that's the high grade. And then, you know, you're 5-0 to 7-5, that's mid. Then 1-0 to 4-5. Maybe so even 1-0 to 3-5.
I can't just say mid-grade. We actually need to give a number this time.
Yeah, we always give numbers.
I was going to give it an 8-0 just because I thought that was kind of low. But you know what? If we're going to be going like that, then I'm probably going to go like 7-0.
7? Okay.
7-0. It has potential. It has potential. You know, but I just wasn't captured by the first episode.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with Luke. I'm going to go give it an 8-0 as well. 8-0. It's decent. It is. It's like if I bought a CGC book or not. If I bought a graded book knowing it was an 8-0, I'm not, it didn't surprise me.
Yeah, no surprises.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the courtroom villain, like, who is that?
Yeah, who was that?
The lady made no sense.
It is only the first episode. I was thinking, is that person who was fighting Wonder Woman? But I was like, that's a completely different world. That's not, what's the name? Leopard or Tigra or Tiger?
Question for you guys. Do you think the show, what we saw in the first episode is pretty much it? Like, it's just going to be courtroom hijinks with a little bit of like crime fighting. Like she's not going to go full on like hero mode, right?
I think it's going to be like street level. It's going to be like the very first Disney Marvel produced street level superhero book, superhero comic. So very much like Luke Cage in that tone, as far as like fighting just street level crime.
I mean, there's got to be a sex scene.
We already know.
She's breaking a couch or something.
I don't know if this is good or bad, but I guess the creators of this show are working. I don't know if this is completely true, but they're also working on the Daredevil show, and they've pretty much said that the Daredevil you're going to see going forward is going to be a lighter side of Daredevil. So it's not going to be as dark, obviously, from when it came Dare out Angel. On Netflix.
It's going to be a Dare Angel.
Dare Angel, yeah. Dare Angel.
Aw, don't do that.
What do you guys think about
that? Round out the horns and the just little Mickey ears.
I loved Daredevil on Netflix. I thought it was just a fantastic show. And I'm probably going to go with Mark on this one, man. They're going to dumb it down now that it's on Disney. Shit. I don't like that. I don't like how they're mixing Daredevil. And I have a feeling it's going to happen where they're going to mix Daredevil with lighthearted She-Hulk.
I mean, he's going to appear on the show, so.
Yeah. But why, though? See, now that makes me wonder. Like, you know, we're kind of getting the feel of the show from the first episode. Why is Matt going to be involved, right? Is he going to be in to be like, all right, you're an attorney who's a superhero. Let me give you the ins and outs. Or is it that they're going to run into, like, a common foe? Like, are we going to get Kingpin in this?
I don't know if we'll get Kingpin. I mean, it could be something where, like, they're one's representing, you know, defend. Because doesn't Daredevil, he represents, he defends. He's a defender, right? And I think maybe She-Hulk is more of a prosecutor type of character. So maybe they have to go against each other in the courtroom. And then superhero hijinks occur, right? I don't know.
Yeah, Marvel's future young, dumb, and female herbs. You said that herbs are leading up to the Echo show. That also makes no sense. Yeah, you know, how is this going to weave into Echo? You know, again, like this show's tone is really lighthearted for it to be in the same category as Daredevil and Echo, right? You know, like even Hawkeye, and I'm throwing Hawkeye in just because of Echo. Like Hawkeye was really fun, but it still was pretty dark compared to what She-Hulk is.
It was
like
more serious. Yeah, it was definitely more serious. Yeah.
You know, dead.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into,
I see what you're saying there.
House of Dragon episode one. I guess this is, you know, we weren't planning on talking about it, but we've all watched it. Someone on the show asked us about it. So let's do a little review. Who wants to go first? Email, why don't you go first?
Let me go. So it's nice because so at the very beginning, it lays the foundation right from the beginning, right? We have a king, we have a Targaryen, they're on the Iron Throne. And basically it's one of those situations where, hey, look, he needs an heir. Who's next in line? You have the sister or you have the brother, you have the queen that never was, you have this crazy brother that's just out, he's the commander. And then you have the king's daughter, Rhaenyra, right? I think that's her name.
Rhaenyra
or something like that. So it seems like the whole show is based upon, it seems like it's going to be about like who's going to be next in line if this king dies, which is what Game of Thrones has kind of always been about, like who's going to sit on the Iron Throne. Mm-hmm. I like how they laid the line of this is 172 years before Daenerys Targaryen. I liked how, like, at the beginning, it was like, it's 172 years before this king and that king and that king and before Daenerys Targaryen. And then they just edited it all out. 172 years before Daenerys. I like how they set the mood right off the bat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were trying to figure out who's going to be, who's next in line. The king's wife is pregnant. She's about to give birth. There's this big tournament that the king wants. This big, glorious thing. You know, come and see. Come and watch. To be honest with you, I really wasn't sure where we were going with this show. I was wondering, okay, I'm not hyped, but I'm hyped. I'm kind of on the edge with House of Dragon because we got burned. I still have a super sour taste for that last season of Game of Thrones. The storytelling was outstanding in Game of Thrones. It is extremely hard not to compare this to GOT, where the first four seasons were fucking immaculate, and then it fell off the deep end towards the end of that show. So going into this, I'm kind of like, am I going to care? Do I care? Do I want to continue? So, you know, they're trying to lay down the law. Like, this is who this person is. The brother's crazy. The wife, she gave birth. She's going to give birth. The king is this. The king seems soft. He needs an heir apparent. He has his council. Who's going to rule on the Iron Throne over King's Landing? So it's kind of like, okay, we've kind of heard a story like this before.
So you're not really, I mean, what are your, you pretty much summarized the show, but you haven't given us your actual thoughts on the show.
I just don't care about the characters just yet.
Okay.
I see what they're doing. I see how they're trying to get us to care. I already like the king, the king himself. I don't care for him. The commander, who's played by Matt Smith, who was one of the Doctor Who's. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, it's really weird to see him in this movie to this capacity right here. If you love like good living Doctor Who, and then you see him with, you know, in the brothel, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, that's not what I'm used to, you know. So it's gonna throw you off. Adjust your expectations with that actor, because I know he's a fan favorite, but you're not going to get what you saw in the past with him, you know?
Right.
Overall, the storytelling was okay. Overall, the acting was actually not bad. I thought the acting was pretty, pretty well done in this first episode, but it is the first episode, you know? With Game of Thrones, it was like, oh, what are we going to get into? Oh my God. Now with this one, it's like, all right, I need that same big emotional kick for me to care. And there was a nice nod to previous, and you're hearing the princess say certain words in the dragon's tongue, which is really cool, but overall it's still kind of like, I need more.
Okay, what about you, Luke?
Oh yeah, kind of the same. I mean, it was, if it had no connection to GOT, it would be an amazing series on its own. And I'm kind of having to think that to myself, like, dude, we're getting dragons and knights and castles. This is awesome. Like, I could complain about stuff, but start fresh.
It's cool. You're right. We're getting the dragons, and it's nice to hear that they have multiple dragons. We're not waiting for an egg to pop. They're there. They're like fucking flying all over the place. That is cool.
We did like witness like the apex of the Targaryen Empire, and then like the rounding, and then like the slow decline.
Yeah.
That was fun. I was like, oh, that was the apex moment.
Yeah, because that other king who died, there was like in his reign there was peace. So that
he was like the best king ever.
Yeah.
Sixty years of huge dragons,
you know. I think those were the last big dragons too, and the dragons after.
It's almost as if with this show they're giving us the shitty parts after the good parts, right? Because I was like, as soon as I heard, you know, what his reign was all about, as soon as I heard what that, I was like, oh, is this a story that we're gonna get? Oh no, okay. After he's dead, now
well,
you get
the no, that, like, how could there be like, if the king was, if his reign was peace and prosperity for 60 years, that is not a story we want to see.
But how did he get to that point? You know, what happened 60 years prior to get to that point. I'm pretty sure that there was a lot of bloodshed, a lot of wars, a lot of things, a lot of politics that went, a lot of slyness that went into it.
Well, that stuff, yes, there was stuff that happened prior, because we all, I mean, I don't know how much you guys know, but I mean, I do know a little bit, like the whole Targaryens, they all came from that one city that was destroyed, right? So. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll probably go into that at some point, but then, you know, with this storyline, it's got a lot more, I guess, intrigue, drama, a lot of backstabbing. So that is one thing that, you know, us as fans of the show, that's what we like to see, right?
Yeah. There was inconsistencies with some of the acting also, because you know, once we get to the middle part of the show where the big event happens and everyone starts rushing to the room, you know, there's sadness and whatnot. Seeing the brother who's pretty much apparently like, all right, I should be next in line if this is going to happen. You know, the way he was trying to console his niece, who was the king's daughter, it just seemed inconsistent in a sense that he seemed like he cared too much about her feelings, as opposed to him wanting to be next in line, which it seemed like they were trying to set up. So I just don't feel like they were able to weave the story in the direction they were trying to go with, because I felt like Matt Smith's acting in that scene kind of threw me off as far as, all right, what are your true intentions? What do you want to do? And I wasn't sure. And then throughout the show after that, I really wasn't sure if he wants to be the next king or not. It almost seems like he just wants to be the commander, just go out and rape and pillage.
I think that, well, I mean, do you know the storyline of what happens?
No, I don't. And I don't want to. I'll watch the show.
So, like, they're planting a lot of seeds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could, like, when Otto Hightower tells his daughter to go to the king's room to like come console him and mm-hmm. wear your mother's dress, that, and then like there's a lot of like the knight who beat Daemon. He didn't really beat him because he hit him in the back, but yeah. You know, that character I think is going to play a role. Obviously there's some sort of weird relationship between Daemon and Rhaenyra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously it's an uncle niece thing going on,
but it seemed
we've seen aunt nephew thing go on in Game of Thrones. So, you know, there's a lot of, I think, planting of the seeds. I thought it was a decent show. I mean, if you take away from the fact of what happened and Game of Thrones, how it ended, and you take this as a separate entity,
it's good.
I thought it was good.
You absolutely have to disconnect. It's hard to, though. So I guess if you're not a Game of Thrones fan, this is a good jumping on point, but it's hard to, for those hardcore fans or for those big time fans, for those just fans in general of the show who have gotten burned. It sucks because, like, what happened at the end left such a bad taste. It's almost like I don't care.
Well, here's my argument to that. Either you support this or you don't, and then you'll never see another Game of Thrones show. So you're going to complain about the ending of something, and then they're like, all right, so no one's going to watch this, so we're not going to make a show anymore. Because these shows are big budget. So, I mean, yeah, I get it. You know, you got a sour taste in your mouth. And I'm just saying this for everyone who's complained about the ending. I understand. I wasn't too happy with the ending myself. But if you want to continue seeing this story, you've got to support the show, or they're just not going to make it.
Or screw it and just read the books, you guys. We're all comic book readers here. I know we all can read. It's okay. Read the books. We probably get a better story from this. So Film Age right here, he throws this out. The CG was garbage and inconsistent. Now, here's the thing to this. This is with any production, right? At the very beginning, yes, you know, a show like this is going to have some decent money behind it, but you're not going to spend $20 million an episode like they did with Game of Thrones. In this case, they know the history. They know what happened. So they're going to take some steps towards making this production as good as possible, but still try not to lose as much money as possible in case those fans don't come back. So I feel like the CGI and the production had to take a little bit of a step back to tell a better story, just because I don't think that they put the big budget money in it like they did before. That's going to come later if the first few seasons actually are a hit. I think that later on, the CGI is going to get better. I'm not even worried about.
Yeah, I mean, that's how all shows are, you know. They don't want to blow everything on that first season. But once they see that people are into it, and that's when they're willing to spend more. So, yeah, I agree with you, man.
Not seeing another lackluster show isn't a problem. That's what I've been preaching about. Disney, stop co-signing their trash, and they'll make better quality. See,
there was no.
Oh yeah, credits. That's one thing too. I was like, there's no opening credits. I'm used to like the
oh, they didn't. I didn't even realize that there was.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then they're also trying to capture like everyone who watched Game of Thrones with like the score, like dun dun da 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 dun da da da. Like they had like it touched on it, you know, because that. That opening sequence for Game of Thrones is just one of the most epic opening sequences to any movie or TV show out there. And it told a story too. Anytime something changed within the show, that opening sequence changes, or a new city opens up, or a new location opens up, or a certain city burns down, you know. It was a fantastic opening sequence. I'm with Taylor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what are you guys' grades on that? E-Man, what's your grade?
Oh, no, we didn't hear Luke's thoughts, did we?
We did, didn't we, Luke?
Yeah.
Fuck, I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, I apologize, Luke.
You caught up in your own chatter.
I apologize, Luke. Good review, Luke. I'm with you. Yes. Good. Very good.
What's your grade on it, E-Man?
You know what? Like, I'm trying to think, like, which one did I hate least? The She-Hulk or House of Targaryen? That's how I'm looking at it right now.
Brutal.
I watched She-Hulk twice. I only watched House of the Dragon once, and it was earlier today. And I think this is a show that I need to watch with other Game of Thrones fans. So as of right now, I'm just going to give it an 8-0. Only because I am a little excited, but I just don't want to put all my excitement in the basket. You know, there was some really good storytelling. The lead actress is pretty convincing in her role. So I'll give it an 8-0, but that's just, you know, erring on the side of caution.
Okay. And Luke, what about yourself?
I'd go 9-2. The jousting, the lists was so good. The tournament, that was so much fun. And the gold cloaks, so evil. But, you know, kind of a dig at modern-day police, I felt, a little bit.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Oh, man, that's, I don't even know what that means.
But I'm liking the way everything's going.
Yeah.
It is only episode one. I'm so with both She-Hulk and with House of the Dragon. I'm gonna stick through. I'm gonna spend my time with these shows and watch them,
yeah.
You know, and see where it goes. You know, hopefully it does get better. I'm rooting for them to get better. You know, I don't ever root against a show unless I truly hate the property or the director or, you know, the production company. You know, which is rare. I'm not rooting. Yeah, I'm not rooting against it. I want them to do good. I want to enjoy more content. Just give me the good content. Just give me something to care about. And I might just stick with you until the end.
All right. I'm going to give it somewhat similar to Luke. I'm going to give it a 9. I thought it was good. I mean, I suspended my thoughts on the original Game of Thrones show. And just by watching it, I'm like, you know what? And seeing the intrigue and seeing where it leads, I'm open to to seeing how this all turns out.
You're a bigger man than I am. You're a bigger man than I am. I admire you for that one. I admire this man. Go follow his new Instagram channel, you guys, because this man's got some great ideas. I love it.
I'm just saying, like I said earlier, like, yes, we all were not happy with Game of Thrones, the ending. But if we want to continue seeing more of it, we got to support it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to watch it, then all of a sudden it gets canceled, then there's no one else to blame. You could blame the production company and the people who write the show, but I mean, the first episode wasn't bad enough for me to say, I can't watch this.
I agree with you right there. It's not bad enough for me to say, fuck this show, I'm not going to watch it anymore. I'm with you 100%. I'm intrigued. Did you watch all the way to the end? Like, did you go all the way?
Yeah. Okay.
I think I might actually listen to the podcast too, like the companion podcast to this.
I just hope that they have like characters like Littlefinger who are fucking hilarious to just fucking see him like talk and stuff and the way he acts, like, you know.
That was the big thing about Game of Thrones, right? It was such a diverse cast. You had like the creepy guy, the young heroine, you know, the son that shouldn't be. Like, it was just this huge cast of just wonderful characters who were complete polar opposites of everyone else. I'm with you because Littlefinger added some depth to that show.
He did, you know, the way he talked, you know, all whispery, like Sansa, you know, like, this is not how you should do it.
You're right. The way he said certain words, the way he squints his nose and says, like, that's I'm looking at this right here, and it looks like D.B. Weiss and the other person who helped run Game of Thrones, they're not executive producing. It doesn't look like the original producers are involved with this show. So maybe, maybe HBO were like, we have like a great team. We need someone to pay attention. And on top of that, George R.R. Martin apparently has got like a heavier hand in producing this show than he did with Game of Thrones. Let's cross our fingers, man, that we get that storyline that we wanted with like a fucking home run at the end.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. Anything else we want to throw out there, or are we good?
Golden
right. House of Dragon. Just watch it, you guys. Let us know. Let us know down in the comments below. Let us know in the chat. What did you guys think of the first episode? Because this is one definitely to talk about.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, with that being said, tonight's episode is done. We'll see you guys all next week. Please,
hold on. Wait. Can I say something before we start closing stuff out? Before we close out. So I just hit 300 subscribers on my channel, you guys. Woohoo! So I'm doing a giveaway on my channel on September 7th at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time, 7:30 Eastern time, real time for you, Mark. So if you guys could jump in, that would be awesome. I'm giving away three prizes. Prize number one is, look what we got here. Look what I got here. I'm going to be giving one of these away, plus a John Jane cover. Prize number two, I'm giving away Land of the Living Gods number one, as well as a Chicken Devil number one, and Aftershock Ambassador exclusive. And grand prize, Miko Suwayan's Something is Killing the Children number 16. So nice. I'm giving away some pretty decent things right there. Just look for my 300 subscriber giveaway announcement and follow the instructions on there for a chance to win one of these prize packs right here.
How many do we have on ours? 227. Come on, guys. What the fuck, man? We got to have more. We got to have... It should be one for one here. If Emad's got 300, we should have 300. So someone's not following us, and they should be
subscribed. Gotta put in the work. Gotta put in the work. In every production that I put, every one of my videos has some kind of tie to the C-list villains. I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't know about you guys. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing everything that I can. Hey, look, hey. But we gotta make that push, you guys. We gotta make that push.
Yeah.
Herbs is asking. Maybe for the next episode, did you guys finish Sandman?
I did not. Okay. I still need to watch it.
Okay. That's definitely another one to talk about. I liked it. Didn't love it, but I'm looking forward to more.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. So with that being said, yeah, E-Man's got 300. That's not acceptable for our show. We need to have 300 too. So fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit.
No.
Steelers Bills has to have 300 as well. All right. I'm still putting it out there.
Don't be you. That's not how you do it. You're supposed to say, hey, congratulations, E-Man. That's great. I mean, say, yeah, you know,
I said that's cool, but I'm saying as far as ours, we gotta have 300 too. That's not acceptable. So for whoever's following E-Man better be following us. That's the end of it.
Better. Oh, those are words. Those are choice words there, AJ. Those are choice words.
That's the law, all right? This is Game of Steelers Villains, not Game of Thrones.
Game of Steelers Villains. Close the show, dude. Close the show.
Later, guys.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Steelers Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at SteelersVillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, C-List Villains and C-List Villains Podcast. Lastly, follow the villains on their separate IG accounts, at Luke Weeks, at C-List Villainous Red, at C-List E-Man, and I am at AJ the Comic Collector. Thanks for listening.